You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. It's Friday, May 19th, and you are listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. Welcome to a very special edition of NFL Total Access, the podcast that, quite honestly, we wish we didn't have to share. I'm your host, NFL Network senior writer Andrew Levy, and today we meet at the crossroads of sadness and celebration to mark the passing, but also to honor the life of Pro Football Hall of Famer Jim Brown. On this show, we will hear from NFL stars who have been posting their tributes to a man many believe is the one true GOAT. Bob Costas will share his thoughts on Jim Brown, the legend. Fellow Hall of Famer Dick Butkus knew Jim Brown, the player, and discovered in his very first meeting with Jim Brown, the player, that if you're going to try and tackle this guy, you better have two things, a plan and a lot of help. That is a story you have to hear. We'll also hear from those who knew Jim Brown, the activist, and who believe this is a man whose greatest accomplishments came long after he hung up his cleats. So here, then, is MJ Acosta-Ruiz leading TA the broadcast on a journey into the life and the legacy of James Nathaniel Brown, Jim Brown, who passed away today at the age of 87.
Welcome to NFL Total Access on a day that is, quite simply, different. Because today we honor a man, a player, a legend. No, even that's not enough. A force of nature who was quite stunningly different than anyone who had come before and anyone who has come since. Today, we mark the passing and celebrate the legacy of Jim Brown. Jim Brown was football royalty. He changed the game on the field and worked for change off the field. A lot of reaction coming in today after we learned of the passing of Jim Brown. Most notably, of course, from his wife, Monique, who announced Brown's death in an Instagram post Friday afternoon. She said Brown passed peacefully Thursday night in their home in Los Angeles. She says, quote, "To the world, he was an activist, actor, and football star. To our family, he was a loving and wonderful husband, father, and grandfather. Our hearts are broken."
This is Jim Brown, the most devastating ball carrier in the history of football.
Hall of Fame running back Jim Brown left defenders in his wake and all who watched him in awe.
You know, talk about running backs in the history of the National Football League. There's only one number one, and there is no number two. It's Jimmy Brown.
Jim Brown, the greatest running back that has ever breathed.
I think that Jim Brown is the greatest football player that's ever played. Regardless of era, regardless of position.
Brown was a three-time NFL MVP. He won the rushing title in 8 of his 9 seasons. He was selected to the Pro Bowl in every year he played. James Nathaniel Brown was born on St. Simon's Island, Georgia, in 1936. Life was hard. There was little money. When his parents divorced, Brown moved to Long Island with his mother. While she worked as a housekeeper, he excelled in sports at Manhasset High. Brown earned letters in basketball, baseball, lacrosse, track, and of course, football. Despite his talent, Brown was unable to get a scholarship from Syracuse. A local benefactor paid for his freshman year, however, and Brown later earned a scholarship and All-America honors.
Big star for Syracuse is All-American Jim Brown, scoring three touchdowns in a terrific one-man show.
In 1957, Brown was Cleveland's number one pick. He led the league in rushing and was the NFL's Rookie of the Year. Brown possessed a rare blend of speed and strength. He wasn't a beautiful runner. He was a power runner, and his power was beautiful to watch.
Power. He had power. You didn't see nobody knock him. Now, look at the film. You don't see nobody knock him back. You see him go in the stacks, and he come out. You see him do all the things that you're still wondering. How the heck did he do that?
He did it with a body of steel and a will of iron against defenses focused solely on him.
You test yourself in every way, stamina-wise, mentally, courage. It pushes you to the brink. A 185-pound cornerback is going to make me go out of bounds. I'm going to be building up his ego. I'm going to try to drop a forearm into his chest. And sometimes miracles happen.
Brown averaged over 100 yards a game and 5 yards per carry during his career. Most amazing of all, he never missed a start.
Jim Brown was a freak because he never missed a game. I think that says all you need to know about his toughness.
11 defenders massed at the line and dared Brown to beat them. He did, week in and week out. There was a price to pay for every yard, and Brown was willing to pay it. When he was hurting, he didn't allow his opponents to know it. He never talked between plays, and he always got up slowly.
If you get up slow each time, that's the constant. They don't know when the wind is knocked out of me. They don't know when I'm hurt. They don't know when I'm dizzy. They don't know anything.
Brown was a man of mystery. He even kept his own teammates in the dark.
As many times as he carried the ball, as much of a pounding as he took, he was never in the training room. What they didn't find out until later was Jim came in at 6 o'clock in the morning and went in the training room. And it sort of conveyed this sense of this is Superman.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. The pro game in the pop age had a number of superstars, but only one Superman, and he was Jim Brown.
In 1964, the Browns beat the Colts, and Superman was finally a world champion. 2 years later, at the peak of his powers, he shocked the football world by retiring.
I left at the age of 29 years old, and I was MVP of the league. I wanted to have a career, a full career, have it peak, and leave and do other things.
And who knows, it may be that he was tired of being the Iron Man of football, where he would just get battered in every game, not let anybody know, and he must have hurt like the devil. I can't imagine that he was invincible to pain. And yet, he had this sort of pride that never let it show. And maybe he was sort of tired of doing that, you know?
After football, Brown became an actor and starred in films like The Dirty Dozen. Later, he was a civic activist and worked to stem gang violence in Los Angeles and Cleveland. But long after his Hall of Fame enshrinement, Brown never ventured far from the game he loved.
It's not who was better, who was starting. It's about all of us shared the same experiences, and we loved it, and we played the game because of the game.
When Jim Brown walked away from the game after just 9 years, he was the NFL's all-time leading rusher and held 20 records. Many consider him to be not only the greatest running back ever, but perhaps the greatest single player of all time.
And there are a few people more qualified to help us understand the enormity of Jim Brown's place in our game and in our world than Bob Costas, who joins us now over the phone. Bob, thank you so much for spending this time with us. And I just want to start with how important Jim Brown was to our game from your perspective.
Well, you have to recognize, MJ, and I'm sure you do, that when he breaks into the league in the 1950s, football's popularity is growing, but baseball is still the unquestioned national pastime. So he has a role, and a significant one, in football breaking through and becoming the most popular sport. Now, he wasn't really around as an active player when that really took hold, when Monday Night Football came into being, when it became the number one television sport, when the Super Bowl became a phenomenon. All that postdates Jim's career as a player. But he and Johnny Unitas and a handful of others are in that first wave, that first post-World War II wave where the game grew in popularity. And the thing that was always true about him, his statistics will attest to his greatness 100 years from now, but some of those numbers might be exceeded statistically. But what those who never saw him play or never felt his aura even after his playing days will never fully understand was his presence. If you didn't know a football from a tennis ball and Jim Brown walked into a room, you'd immediately say, who's that? He had a certain presence about him, and even though he was imperfect, and that has been documented as well, he was a person of consequence beyond his football accomplishments. If he had never done anything besides his incredible football accomplishments, that would have been more than enough for most people. But he led a consequential life for many, many years after that.
You know, they call that gravitas, right? That pull that is sometimes so impossible to pinpoint, but it is there, and undoubtedly so in people like Jim Brown. And now, I love that you underscored the fact that all that he did, all of his accomplishments were far before the fanfare, the marketing, right? All of the visual things that are in our face about the game, and it's a testament to what he did on the field. But his life after football was just as impactful, and you spent some time with him. Can you tell us about that?
I did. We had a Syracuse connection, and that bonded us, if that's the right word, at least initially. But here was the thing about Jim, and I guess it almost goes without saying, he didn't suffer fools gladly. So you had to win his respect. And in the case of a broadcaster, it just meant that you knew your stuff and you didn't waste his time with dumb, trite, cliched questions. And once you got past that threshold with him, he treated each individual as an individual, even though he came up in a time of stark racism and experienced it and always fought against it. He didn't generalize. He epitomized what I think we all should strive for. See each person as an individual, not as a member of a group. And no matter where you came from and what the color of your skin was, if you had earned his respect, then you had it.
Yeah, even in just speaking with Jim briefly, you immediately felt that there was nothing surface level about this man in any aspect of his life. What did Jim Brown mean to you?
Well, he was one of the sports heroes of my youth. And I've often said this, and I think people understand. I'm older now than almost everybody I cover. But when I met Jim Brown or Johnny Unitas or Jerry West or Wilt Chamberlain or Willie Mays or Stan Musial or Mickey Mantle or Hank Aaron. Now you're talking about the people you watched when you were a kid. That has a completely different effect on you. As great as Michael Jordan might be, as great as Tom Brady might be, it's not the same as meeting somebody who was on your black and white television screen when you were a little kid. And even outside sports, people have asked me, hey, you interviewed Bruce Springsteen. Well, sure I did. But that didn't mean as much to me, nothing against Bruce who's great, as interviewing Paul McCartney or Smokey Robinson, because they predate my adulthood. And that's where Jim Brown came out of. I knew him as an adult, but my first understanding or impression of him is as a child, actually rooting against him, because I grew up on Long Island. I'm rooting for the New York Giants and Y.A. Tittle and Frank Gifford. And Jim Brown is running roughshod over them most of the time.
You know, Bob, I think those are some of the points that all of us have been talking about today. The fact that as broadcasters, we were also fans of the game, but all of that sort of blurs, right, when you meet a person with that much gravitas and that much impact. Bob Costas, thank you so much for sharing your perspective and for spending some time with us today.
Thank you, MJ.
All right, of course, the NFL releasing this statement saying, "We are heartbroken by the passing of the legendary Jim Brown, one of the greatest players in NFL history, a true pioneer and activist. Jim Brown's legacy will live on forever." They also released a statement that said, "On behalf of the entire NFL family, we extend our condolences to Monique and their family as well." Commissioner Goodell also said Jim Brown was a gifted athlete, one of the most dominant players to ever step on an athletic field, but also a cultural figure who helped promote change. During his nine-year NFL career, which coincided with the civil rights movement here at home, he became a forerunner and role model for athletes being involved in social initiatives outside their sport. He inspired fellow athletes to make a difference, especially in the communities in which they lived. Brown was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1971 and was named to the NFL's 100th anniversary all-time team in 2019. All right, that was the Pro Football's Hall of Fame statement there. Also, Jerome Bettis posting this on Twitter saying, "Today we lost a true legend. May Jim Brown, my Pro Football Hall of Fame brother, rest in peace and power." Barry Sanders also coming in saying, "You can't underestimate the impact Jim Brown had on the NFL. He will be greatly missed. Additionally, his generosity and friendship with my family is a gift that we will always treasure. Our thoughts and prayers are with the Brown family and Browns fans at this time." Our celebration of Jim Brown continues. This is NFL Total Access. We'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to NFL Total Access. And here, as an NFL family, we find ourselves kind of in that space between remembrance and celebration at the passing of Pro Football Hall of Famer and civil rights activist Jim Brown, who left us today at the age of 87. A lot of reaction coming in, and rightfully so, even if you just look at his football accolades, for which there are many. 9 NFL seasons, All-Pro selections were 8, 9 Pro Bowl selections, 8 3-time MVP, the only player in NFL history to win the MVP as a rookie. But of course, it goes far beyond that. The Browns posted this saying, "Legend, leader, activist, visionary. It's impossible to describe the profound love and gratitude we feel for having the opportunity to be a small piece of Jim's incredible life and legacy. We mourn his passing, but celebrate the indelible light he brought to the world. Our hearts are with Jim's family, loved ones, and all those he impacted along the way." Players, of course, jumping in. Thurman Thomas posted this, "Jim Brown, my friend and idol, I'll miss you forever. We will always be there for Monique and the kids till we meet again at the running back table in heaven. I love you, brother." Derek Brooks said, "Rest in peace to the greatest football player of all time. I appreciate you and all the conversations and knowledge you bestowed on me. I will continue to accept your challenge to help people and make this world a better place, praying for your family." JJ Watt saying, "An absolute legend. Rest in peace, Jim Brown." Fred Taylor also chimed in saying, "Just learning of the legendary Mr. Jim Brown's passing. It was an honor to meet and speak with him over the years. His comments regarding my career are the only form of validation that ever really mattered to me. 32 is the greatest to ever tote the football. Rest in heaven, JB." And Miles Garrett saying, "Incredibly sad to hear the news. A true icon and an inspiration to many on and off the field. I'll forever cherish hearing his voice welcome me to the city he loves so much. His influence on the game and community will never be forgotten. Rest in eternal peace to Jim Brown." We welcome in now a man who not only knew Jim Brown, but shared his passion for social activism. Man known as the notorious PhD, Dr. Todd Boyd joins us now. And Dr. Boyd, I want to thank you for coming on here, but also, can you just reflect for a moment with us on how important Jim Brown's life was after football?
Well, you know, I think as you've been talking about, if we were to only talk about his career as an NFL player, I mean, that would still be a very substantial conversation because of his massive accomplishments. But what makes Jim so important is not only, you know, what he did as a football player, but what he did in, I think, 2 other areas, one being film and entertainment, the other being in terms of social justice. You know, I think sometimes it's lost how important Jim Brown was as an actor in the 1960s. This was the era when Sidney Poitier was very dominant in Hollywood. And Jim Brown came along, you know, making this transition from football to acting as an alternative to Sidney Poitier, a more sort of modern urban figure representing a different image of Black masculinity. And in many ways, his success as an actor paved the way for, in the 1970s, what would come to be known as the Blaxploitation era. And so, of course, his accomplishments in this area are very important, but often don't get discussed. But we also know that he was very important in terms of social justice, civil rights activism. I mean, we can go back to this famous photo, one of the most famous photos in sports, what people now refer to as the Cleveland Summit in the late 1960s. When Jim Brown sat at the head of the table with Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and of course, this meeting was convened to have a conversation with Muhammad Ali during the moment in time when Muhammad Ali decided he was not going to participate in the Vietnam War. Jim was instrumental in bringing all these individuals together. And when you look at that photo, having a conversation that was not about sports, but was about what it meant to be Black in America at that particular time. And then, of course, more recently, his work in terms of the AmeriCAN program, social justice, social change, gang intervention. You know, he leaves quite a legacy as a football player, as an entertainer, and also as someone who was grounded in the civil rights movement, the Black Power movement, movement towards social justice, going back to the 60s, but of course, stretching into the modern day as well.
He had a very nuanced message, very layered and of short. And of course, that ripple continues on to today. But I want to talk for a moment about Jim Brown, the man, because you spent some time with him. A little story time here. Can you tell us about your experiences with him?
Well, you know, immediately what comes to mind is being, you know, in the NFL Network studio. This was back in 2016, right when Colin Kaepernick began his protest. And I was in the studio that day with Jim. And, you know, all these stories. I had been on television with Jim Brown before, but this was actually the first time we were actually occupying the same physical space in the same place. And, you know, Jim has always had this reputation of being tough, shall we say. Some people might call him difficult. And so we're standing waiting to go on the air, and no one had introduced us, so I thought I have to go introduce myself. And I did, and he couldn't be more gracious. I mean, he was incredibly gracious and complimentary, and this carried over when we went on the air. And I remember one of my friends afterwards saying, I don't know that I've never ever seen Jim Brown show someone so much respect as he showed you, and he certainly did. So, you know, to be in that moment, of course, the legacy of what would happen going forward, none of us knew at the time, but what would happen with Colin Kaepernick. And to be in that space and have that conversation with Jim Brown, you know, at the NFL Network in the studio, I mean, that will for me be always how I remember him and how gracious of an individual he was towards me in that moment.
Yeah, you know, we've heard so many stories today about his physical presence, that gravitas, that je ne sais quoi that he had that you can't put your finger on, but you knew it the moment that you met him. Dr. Boyd, thank you so much for sharing that with us and for coming on here on Total Access.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Jim Brown has passed away at the age of 87, but his impact on our world will echo for all time. Coming up, a fellowship of greatness and resolve, the incredible story of how Jim Brown inspired some of the world's most famous people to put the act in activism.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yep. It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, we pay our respects to the late, the great, the incomparable Jim Brown, who passed away at the age of 87. In the Pro Football Hall of Fame, his memory is preserved with NFL greats named Halas and Lombardi. But in the annals of American history, his friends carried names like Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X.
Muhammad Ali, who was brave.
An icon for all of those who were committed to joining sports and social resistance.
Sam Cooke, was a visionary.
Arguably the greatest singer this nation has seen besides Aretha Franklin.
Malcolm X was courageous.
One of the greatest freedom fighters in the 20th century. Spoke against white supremacy, social injustice, and economic inequality.
Jim Brown is fearless.
A remarkable figure who continues to intrigue the American imagination.
To this whole situation. I'm testing my memories. To think that all these years, people are interested in what happened way back then. Hello, hello.
Hello. Welcome to the historic Hampton
Thank
House.
You. Thank
so happy to have you.
Good to be
Come
here.
Come and visit with us.
February 25th, 1964, it was a remarkable day. Cassius Marcellus Clay Jr. was stepping into the ring with Sonny Liston. At 22 years old, he became the heavyweight champion of the world. And that night, he repaired to his hotel, the Hampton House, with three other figures, Jim Brown, Sam Cooke, and Malcolm X. Jackie Robinson used its place. Martin Luther King Jr. was photographed in his swimming trunks in the swimming pool of Hampton House, because there were not many places in Miami Beach that would accommodate black people.
America racially in 1964 was embarrassing. Quality didn't count. Fairness didn't count. I was a good athlete. I got treated well as an individual, but all around me, black people were being discriminated against. That was the nature of the country at that particular time. We used to sit around the pool, but a whole lot of brothers didn't do a lot of swimming. I don't exactly remember when I met Ali, but it was before 64. Ali had a way of calling you out, reaching out to show friendship, always in a good mood. I remember the sound of his voice. Jim Brown, what's happening? Muhammad. He said, let's go walking. Let's go over here and get in the pool. He had a great heart, and he always took time with people. When you talk about a Malcolm X, that's a historical figure. One of the most important exposures that I've had in my life. And, you know, Sam Cooke was unique talent, but he had a consciousness that he wanted to make this a better world. So he joined the forces, became an activist, and put his butt on the line.
It's important to look at these men while they were icons. They're not immortals. And it was that moment in my mind that they were able to be men, brothers, able to have the opportunity to express their feelings without having to censor themselves in any way, and be in a space that was safe.
Well, well, 38. Wow, this is it. This is it. There he is. This does bring back memories. Being in this room sort of gets me into my warrior suit. The struggle was so intense. If you didn't watch out, you'd be contradicting yourself. You had to be very careful because there were white people that were very racist, but there were white people that risked their lives to bring about freedom, equality, and justice to us. Bottom line, in every conversation, it was being a man of freedom, being a man standing up, making this country give us what we deserve, to have equality, to be able to enjoy the same things everybody else enjoy, to stick together and be a unit and be powerful as a unit. Oh, my goodness. This is amazing. This is amazing. Wow. Boy, this is something. You look at the hairstyles. Look at the car. I think the pool looked better then, didn't it? Probably the last time I was in this room was the last time Malcolm was in this room. I didn't make a special effort. During that time, it was a room, and it served our purpose. Today, we can look back and appreciate those who made this room significant. I'm so happy that I was one of them.
Muhammad Ali, Jim and Sam and Malcolm, they're just an example of how important it is for us to use our platforms to amplify voices that aren't able to be heard.
That meeting looms large in the American racial imagination. Four black men, two of whom would be dead within a year, another one who would retire at the height of his career, another who would soon announce his conversion to a Muslim ideology as a marginal figure. They must come together to articulate their belief that black people are worthy of fighting for, and that those who are the black fortunate must give their lives in service to their people.
Age is a wonderful thing. We're all gonna get there, right? And it tests you in every way because it pits you against you. That fence I used to just run and jump over, can't do it no more. Sometimes I forget my memory, I forget what I'm talking about. Once in a while that happens. And so that's the negative side. But the other side of the coin is that I represent now simplicity. I'm only here to make myself a better person and to help those who need help. And I underline this point. When I say be a better person, I'm not just talking about me. I'm looking at you too, why not?
Always a poignant message. And we are joined now by a man who says we must teach our children to dream with their eyes open, an ethos shared by his friend, Jim Brown. Dr. Harry Edwards, thank you so much for joining us. And as we extend here, our condolences to you as well. Where did your mind go when you heard the news of Jim Brown's passing today?
It's been a pretty rough 2 months for me. Some of the icons that I knew, grew up with, were models and people that I knew to talk to chat with from time to time. Jim Brown, Bill Russell, Harry Belafonte, those are people that I grew up using as models for what I thought I would like to be in terms of competence, in terms of what I stood for, in terms of articulateness, in terms of being committed to a broader cause. In a very, very short period of time, 3 months, they're all gone. So I'm still trying to process it all. I know that it's part of the deal on this planet, that nobody gets out of life alive. But at the same time, it is very, very difficult to see the passing of such giants and to realize that in reality, we've all just been living in their shadows. And now we're here without them. I've had to stop and try to process that, not just intellectually and analytically, but spiritually. It's been difficult.
Yeah, it's a lot to digest, Dr. Edwards. I can't imagine. But standing on the shoulders of the foundation and the impact that these men had. And with Jim, you mentioned how he brought together some of the prominent figures in the black community and certainly in American history, whether it was in entertainment, in sports, but they were all able to be united by his voice and his passion. What did you learn from Jim Brown?
The one thing I learned from Jim Brown more than anything else was how imperative it is to cultivate, generate, nurture, project respect. He had respect as the central motivating factor in his life. He used to tell me, I play football for respect. I do the best job that I can in terms of acting for respect. I try to get the young guys who are out there involved in gangs and everything to come together and to understand that while they don't want to be judged simply by the color of their skin, the content of their character and the caliber of their competence is critically important, and that takes work. You're going to make some mistakes. He said, I've made mistakes, but you've got to continue to work at it, because at the end of the day, people respond to you in terms of the respect they have for you, and your own self-respect is the determining factor in terms of how you present yourself. And so respect was a huge thing for him. And it was one of those issues that he never ceased trying to move ahead on and to project. To the very last years of his life, he was still trying to teach and to get people to understand the whole foundation of community. It's mutual respect, but you have to work on that as an individual. And that was Jim Brown. That was what he was about.
Yeah, and all of the stories that we've heard today, and Dr. Edwards, yours included, we can glean that Jim wasn't just a man who earned the respect, but commanded it as well, even just with his very presence, but certainly with the actions that he put forth. Dr. Edwards, if you were writing Jim Brown's legacy, what would it say, and what should it say?
Well, I think there are a number of things that would have to go into it. I'm not quite certain that one book would do it, because you could write a book about the athletes, you could write a book about the activists, and you could write a book about the actor. But I think that the fact that he commanded such respect oftentimes came across as fearsomeness for people who didn't know him, people who he had never smiled at, people who had never had a conversation with him. And I think that that would be something that would have to be cleared up. I think that one of the most misunderstood accomplishments that he ever made was the Cleveland Summit. People think that he called all these great athletes together in Cleveland in April of 1967 in order to get show support for Ali. That was not the case. Jim was interested in finding out how sincere Ali was about what he was doing. And some of the athletes there who had friends and kin and relatives and others already in Vietnam most certainly didn't support not stepping forward for induction. But what Jim enabled them to do was to be before Ali, have him explain the nature of his commitment and his struggle for respect for his religion, respect for his name, respect for his exercise of his civil rights as a conscientious objector. And so what Jim came out of that Cleveland Summit with was a statement, not that they supported Ali and what he was doing, but that they supported his right to do it as a citizen and as a man. Jim Brown knew what was at stake from the outset, but still, that's one of the most misunderstood aspects of the many great accomplishments that he had. There's not enough attention given to Jim's influence as an actor. He opened doors for what ultimately came to be known as black exploitation films, but they were really just black opportunity films. But if you go back to 1968 and the Dirty Dozen and so forth, Jim Brown opened a lot of those doors and kept them open. So you could write three books about Jim. One wouldn't hold him.
I hear that. You know, Dr. Edwards, we have so many notes, right, about the accolades from Jim Brown, just on the field and off, but you've just filled in gaps, the in-between moments, right, the context behind all of those accolades and all of those achievements. We thank you for that and for your perspective. Thank you, Dr. Edwards.
Thank you so very much. Nice talking with you.
Likewise. All right, legend, impact, the greatest to ever do it. A maker of change who had both the platform and the power to inspire others. These are the words echoing in our world today at the news that Jim Brown has died at the age of 87. Our tribute continues in a moment. Welcome back to NFL Total Access as we continue to see the reaction from the NFL world after the news that Jim Brown has passed away at the age of 87. Emmett Smith posted, "My heart aches at this very moment after hearing of the passing of Jim Brown. He is and was a true legend in sports and in the community, using his platform to help others. Thanks, King." Tony Dorsett also chiming in, saying, "There isn't a man who played running back in the NFL who didn't see Jim Brown as an iconic legend on and off the field. Rest easy, my brother." And the tributes to Jim Brown continue to pour in, but few will have the impact and the power than that of our next guest, a man whose rookie year in the league was Jim Brown's final year in the NFL in 1965, a year in which Jim Brown won the MVP. I'm honored to welcome Dit Butkus to the show. Mr. Butkus, tell those of us who were never able to watch Jim Brown play in person about Jim Brown, the football player.
Well, I'll tell you, everybody, of course, knows all the accolades of being a running back and how great he was at that. But what really impressed me was my first encounter with him, which happened in 1965 at the college All-Star game. And that particular year, the All-Stars, college All-Stars, were playing the Cleveland Browns. So we're playing them at Soldier Field, and, you know, I'd heard about Jim Brown and all this, you know, how great he was and everything else. But I still needed to be impressed. So we call a blitz, and as I went through the line, I got through the line of scrimmage, and he was setting up the pass block. And so I thought, well, you know, I'm going to just run this guy right over and push him right into the quarterback. So as I ran in there, I grabbed him and I started to shove him back. He hooked his arm around my elbow and he started turning over, going down to the ground. And he was like hyperextending my elbow. And I pulled it out in the nick of time. And I'm like, and I looked at him, I says, "You son of a gun." And I respected that more than anything else. It showed me from the get-go, the very first encounter with this guy, that he just wasn't only, you know, the great runner and the guy that got up slow and returned to the huddle. That son of a gun wanted to break my arm, and that was a neat trick, and I really dug it, man. And so that, I became a follower of his like everybody else.
You know, we're talking about the in-between moments, right? The things we would never be privy to unless we hear stories like this. So thank you so much for adding that context. You know, you talk about just his grit, right? His gumption. When you look at the modern game, where does Jim Brown measure up against the very best in the game today, in your opinion?
Well, I would, you know, when I was always asked, like, you know, the categorized offensive backs, I would say, okay, the fullbacks, of course, would be Jim Brown, Jim Taylor, whatever. As halfbacks, I would say Gale Sayers, even though I played with him, I seen enough against practice and everything else. So Jim had that ability, and maybe it was, you know, from playing these different sports in college, he had great balance, strength, and speed. I got a kick out of every time he got tackled, though he'd get up real slow and wander back to the huddle. Ah, we got him. He's tired now. And then bang, he busted one for 50 or something. Look at this. He's not running the Bears there for crying out loud. Anyway, no, that was the Giants. Yeah, see here, he ran right by me, I think, if that was me. But anyway, no, he was a good one. Good one.
Yeah, every time you ask even the young players who weren't even a thought when Jim Brown was playing, they know exactly who he is, they know exactly the way he played, and they know exactly the impact he made on the game, especially at the running back position. So to say that it's a legacy that he left behind is certainly an understatement. Dit Butkus, thank you so much for coming on and sharing those stories with us.
All right, thanks.
Right, we join each other today, both in remembrance, but also in celebration of Jim Brown. Treat yourself and watch as many highlights as you can of this man and see for yourself someone who was more than a football player. He was a force. We'll be right back.
I want to thank MJ Acosta-Ruiz and Bridget Condon and Brian Baldinger, Bob Costas, Dick Butkus, Dr. Boyd, and Dr. Edwards, too. I also want to send our condolences to the Brown family and to all the Browns fans who mourn together today. We are, as an NFL family, poorer in his absence, but we are made richer by his legacy. As I wrote in the show today, I highly recommend that all of you who haven't seen him play, watch as many Jim Brown highlights as you can. Download them, watch them. And watch other videos, too, of what this man did off the field. Try and catch that NFL 360 special called One Night in Miami. It is well worth your time. You will see a man of deep conviction and passion. You will discover a complicated soul, imperious and, yes, imperfect. A man who reminds us to seek the very best in ourselves and each other. A man who invites us to remember that no one person is ever just one thing. Today, we salute you, Jim Brown, with the only five words that seem appropriate right now. Thank you. Rest in peace. NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.